Yep, it's that time of year. March Madness. The men's and women's bracket are officially set. And now we get to talk about it and see how we feel. Looking forward to this one. The men's and the women's March Madness. There's nowhere else to be at this moment in time. Shooting lights out starts right now.
Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting lights out.
All right, the time we've been waiting for is almost over. We know who's in the field of 68 in the men and in the women for March Madness. And the madness begins tonight with the first four for the men and Wednesday. Also, Wednesday begins the first four for the ladies on Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to preview both the men's and the women's March Madness brackets and see how we see things. But I have a special guest today. It's only right because it's about that time of the year when I got to start getting her on as we roll through the March Madness season and we start diving into the WNBA season. And with everything that had taken place, I had to bring her on. I had to find a way to get her on because it's been a minute. But ladies and gentlemen, making her debut on season 3 of Shooting Lights Out, the Queen of Hoops, Miss Megan Price.
Hey, how are you? It has been a while. It's been, since the Olympics?
Since the Olympics, yes.
Yeah.
It's about that. As I say, it's about that time to get you back.
It is. And got to catch me before baseball season starts because my life is over once baseball season starts.
So we're going to dive into college basketball wins. But to the Queen's request, she has some things she wanted to talk about from the WNBA because free agency, let's just be honest, wasn't the type of free agency we expected to be.
Right. There was tons of movement, not necessarily from the people we expected, and then some we expected, and yeah, there was movement this year for sure.
So first, we got to begin off how it all started, just out of nowhere.
Right.
We're just gonna send Jewel Lloyd to the Las Vegas Aces, like.
So I knew Jewel was gonna be out of Seattle. I knew that was happening. Vegas was not on my radar whatsoever because, you know, obviously we'll get to the position that she's filling and what that player left, so that enabled that spot to be there. But this one is interesting. I mean, obviously, I think Jewel is an incredibly talented young lady. She's gone through a bit of a shooting slump over the last season and a half, so. She's going to answer some questions, you know. I do think that things are situational, though. So being unhappy in Seattle can lead your numbers to looking poorly when in reality you're probably not that bad. It just wasn't the right situation. So looking to see her kind of get back to her gold Mamba days, putting up 30 and 40 points in a game, maybe even having a chance of being the scoring champ. Like, I would love to see that out of Jewel this year.
Now, they also, the Aces did add Cheyenne Parker-Tice to the team as well.
Right. Now, adding Cheyenne, I think, really helps in their 4 and 5 deficiency. Obviously, they have Asia. And while she is technically a 4, she plays the 5 quite a bit. And we've seen that scenario in Vegas. Basically, since Liz Cambage left Vegas, they haven't had a true center. And so they were running small ball with De'Erica Hamby there for a while. And her and Asia are both the same size and were able to bounce back and forth between the 5 and the 4 accordingly. Currently, right now, their starting center is Kia Stokes. And while she is a defensive presence, you're not going to get any scoring out of her. So Cheyenne will be a nice boost to that.
Now, I will say this before we get to the missing piece from the Las Vegas Aces, the reason why Jula is there, they did lose Alicia Clark.
Okay, Seattle. So this one's big. Now, Alicia went back to Seattle, correct? Yes. And that's where she's played most of her career, so not surprised by that move. Now, their coach, Noelle, she's only been the head coach for a few years, she was the assistant for quite a while. So I'm sure she's worked with Alicia before, and hopefully this will be a better fit. That one will hurt Vegas. Losing Alicia will hurt.
Now, the big news out of Vegas went to LA.
Right.
Part of the trade to get Jrue Lloyd to Vegas was Kelsey Plum goes to LA.
Right. Almost all last season, KP did not look in sync with her team. And, you know, she was going through a lot of personal drama off of the court. And, you know, me personally, I'm not one to judge. So it wasn't the greatest season for her, though. It was inconsistent. There were times when she looked like herself, and there were times when she wasn't very relevant. But I think that they had several injuries going on at Vegas at the time. Chelsea Gray wasn't there for the first half of the season. I think she came back two games before the Olympic break. So, you know, we didn't get to see Chelsea healthy, and we will see that. Obviously, if you've been watching Unrivaled, we know the point guard is healthy. So
the MVP of Unrivaled, by the way.
You know, I do like this fit for KP, though. And it's actually because of somebody that you don't have pictured here, and that's De'Erica Hamby is playing for LA as well, which is KP's best friend. So I think, you know, going through a lot of personal drama and then being able to go work with your best friend, like, that could help alleviate that. So while I don't think the Sparks are going to be a great team this upcoming year, obviously it depends if Cam is available. I don't know that Cam is available. It's going to take a little time. I think LA will be a good team next season. This year, they'll probably be a mid team, closer to 9-8 seed. 8 is very high on the ranking there, I feel like.
I think Cam should be ready. Well, she might not be ready for May, but about June, July, she should be ready. It's contingent on that.
Because they, don't get me wrong, there were times last season when you could see this, what the Sparks have, and also FYI, they got a new head coach too. So and I don't hate their head coaching hire. It was the former head coach of the Utah women's basketball team, so somebody that has been involved in women's basketball for 25 years, I believe, or more. So I think he's a great hire. I would like to see more female coaches.
Speaking of head coaches, I'm going to get this out the way because I know how you feel. Your team got a new head coach, and they want the particular coach that you actually wanted. You want to go ahead and get out your chest now?
about Kurt Miller?
Yeah, you want to go ahead and get out your chest now? Because
Where you're at. Well, he's not the head coach, but he is the GM of the Dallas Wings now. And I will say the roster changes that the Wings have had this offseason, and then also we heard Paige declared today for the draft. So obviously I feel like she's going to go number one. Olivia Miles will probably go number two. Olivia had a case at maybe passing Paige for the number one spot, but Notre Dame has kind of fallen off these last 3 weeks. And then specifically in the ACC in the semis, Liv had a terrible game. So I don't think that she's going to be able to, I mean, it was a kind of a small chance of her being able to pass Paige anyway. Paige kind of struggled a little bit in the first part of this year too. She has since found her form again. So we'll see Paige in Dallas. And I have to say the other pieces that Kurt added as a GM, I think they're good. I think they're good moves. I don't like him as a coach.
Might as well go ahead and get it out the way now.
Yeah, I don't like him as a coach. I don't know
how you feel about him, but he's a part of the Wings organization now.
He is, and I am going to be cheering for the Valkyries.
Valkyries, oh man.
Yeah.
So, next thing that I did notice, Phoenix Mercury, full makeover. In a good way, by the way. When you do full makeovers, it's like, okay, we turn it down, we're going to build from scratch. No, they do the full makeover, and it's like, no, we still going to contend.
Right.
Speaking of a former Dallas Wing, Satu Savali is now part of the Mercury. Alisa Thomas from Connecticut Sun is now part of the Mercury. I see what you're doing, Phoenix. I see what you're doing.
I love the rebuild that they have going on here. And it's probably a retool because Kalia was there last year, so she's already kind of in the groove of things. It is her team, but I think adding Satu is huge. And then obviously adding AT was surprising. I expected her wife to sign with Phoenix, to be perfectly honest. And she made a splash somewhere else. So it was surprising for me, but I like this team. I think that they're going to be a very strong defensive team. It'll be different without DT there, though. And not that it wasn't time. I don't want to say that it wasn't time, but somebody that was still averaging 16 points in year 20, you're going to miss that. So she'll be in the building. I'm sure you'll be able to feel her presence there. So, you know, we saw an interview from DT, I think last week, or her exit interview. And
yeah, you can tell by the way she talked, she knew it was time.
Yeah, she did. But that she also said that she's going to be doing what the X Factor does. And that, so she's going to be in the stands cheering for the team. So she'll be there. It's going to be different. And so while we're going to see the evolution of what Phoenix can be without DT, because it's been 20 years, it was time. And at least that coach has a year under his belt of being there in Phoenix now. We like to call him girl dad. So I hope he's successful with this new crew that he's got. I think adding Satu was huge. So if she can be healthy, that's what their season's probably going to depend on.
Now, before I go to the next major team, Brittany Griner is also no longer with the Phoenix Mercury. She went to the Atlanta Dream. Atlanta Dream made a couple of interesting moves, getting not only with BG, but they did get Breonna Jones, and they did get Jordan Canada. So, cool. Whenever you listen to this.
You know, I think Phoenix, like I said, I think that they were starting this rebuild last year while they still had those pieces that they knew that they were about to lose. The BG move is interesting. I think that her destinations were limited. I don't think everybody was ready to throw down for BG. And so I don't know if this is the correct fit there in Atlanta, but I'm glad that she's still going to get a chance to ball somewhere. But it was time for Phoenix to do this.
So yeah, that also, I would be remiss to bring up Seattle Storm again because we talked about Alicia Clark. They re-signed Neko Gumake. They bringing back Gabby Williams. Uh-huh. They also got Lou Samuel, and they got Lexi Brown in a trade with the LA Sparks.
And Katie Lou, I believe she's played there in Seattle before. So once again, I think that's adding back a piece that is used to being there. Katie Lou has a lot to prove this season, I feel like, or she's going to be kind of like BG, that her destinations will be limited if she doesn't do a little more backing up the salary that she's been getting, because she's been getting max salaries the last couple of contracts and she really hadn't been delivering. So, you know, obviously them being paid more is a whole different topic, but you know, you were getting paid what is allotted as a max contract or close to a max contract, and you really didn't deliver much the last two seasons. So it's a put up or shut up season for Katie Lou. I think the biggest thing that comes out of this trade, though, and even with them adding Alicia Clark back, the biggest thing for them is, what are they going to do with that number two pick? I think you should go with Olivia Miles, but hopefully they don't mess it up.
Yeah, that draft is still to come. Can't wait for that one.
Right.
Now, our next team, to me, the team that has won free agency. the team that has won free agency, because gracious.
Yeah, for sure. So the Fever, they added DeWanna Bonner. And this was such a shocking move, but shouldn't have been a shocking move. I think we were all once we saw AT signed with Phoenix, I think we were all thinking like, okay, so swan song, maybe DT comes back, maybe Dawana comes back, and they ride it out for one last season there in Phoenix. And it didn't work out that way. Now, her going to Indiana shouldn't be such a shocker because her former coach is there, and Stephanie White. Stephanie White is a franchise fever person. She, not only does she play for them, but she's already coached them before. So it's basically a home going for Stephanie. And I don't think that necessarily that they would have had a coaching change unless only Stephanie was available. I think Christy did a okay enough job that they were going to roll with her unless this one person became available, and that was Stephanie White. And she did become available. I think that her in Connecticut, and as we see with Connecticut, everybody wanted out. So I don't think that was necessarily just on Stephanie wanting to walk away from the team. I think that everybody was sick of what was going on in Connecticut.
Unfortunately, one Maria Marbury is stuck in Staten Island.
So Marina, and I see a lot of people, this is something I do want to kind of get off my chest, actually. I see a lot of people that criticize Marina because they say she forced the trade there in Chicago, but there was a lot of things going on behind closed doors. You know, the changing in coaching staff, because it was more than just Spoon that got let go, was because of how the Marina situation was handled. And it was proven that what Marina said was true, or they wouldn't have moved on from the coaching staff. And like I said, it was more than just Spoon. And I don't think that Spoon was necessarily involved, but she knew and didn't do anything to change it. So, you know, it was not a good situation there in Chicago. So I don't blame her for forcing her way out of there. And then the Dallas move, like I said, I heard a lot of people say, oh, she forced her way out. She didn't force her way out of Dallas. I was actually in that locker room at that time, or not specifically in that locker room, but I was covering them at that time and actually got a chance to talk to her the day before the trade was finalized. And she was obviously upset about the trade. So there's nothing in me that can make me believe that she forced that trade. Arike is her best friend. They've been playing together since Notre Dame. So they've been playing together for like 9 years at the time. She didn't want to leave Dallas. So I'm not a fan of how things were handled in Connecticut. And, you know, as far as the fans saying she forced her way out, I think maybe know a little more about the W and the situations behind closed doors. And then you can say that.
I don't mind trying to force her way out of Connecticut, because all of a sudden you got to a team that can compete, and next thing you know,
everybody's gone.
It's like, wait a
minute. That's not her fault, I feel like. Like, I mean, and then obvious, you know, we want to talk about Connecticut a little bit. Why does she want out of Connecticut? Why did everybody leave Connecticut? Y'all, the ladies were in the semifinals, and yes, they had made the playoffs like 8 years in a row, so they knew that likely that this space that they needed for the team to practice and play was going to be occupied by the team. Well, here they are in the semis the day before they go play that game or that series, and they got to share the court with a child's birthday party. On top of, they didn't even have lockers or any facilities or anything like that. So I don't blame her for wanting out of Connecticut. Now, it is a business. Did Connecticut say, no, you're the only one we got, we're not letting you go? Yeah, that's what they said, and it's a business. I can't really blame them either, but I can blame them for the way they treat their players and their staff. That's why they don't have anybody left.
Now, getting back into Indiana, who won the offseason, in my opinion, they re-signed Kelsey Mitchell. I said, oh,
which was huge, because we thought we were going to see her in Seattle. She had her moments of unhappiness, especially there at the end of the season. So we didn't know if Kelsey was going to come back. Them being able to re-sign Kelsey is huge. I thought that she would have been a great fit in Seattle, when in fact her teammate actually went and joined Seattle. The two of them together is not good, Erica Wheeler and Kelsey Mitchell. They end up playing ISO ball and not working as a team. That's why Erica got benched this last season. And we all knew it needed to happen. It needed to happen the season before that. So I love this move. And I'm very excited to see what happens with Kelsey and a new coach being able to work with the rotations that they have now.
Now, we talked about the Wanamaker, but you brought in a winner in Natasha Howard.
Oh, this is huge. I was sick when I heard that Flash was going to Indiana because I have my frustrations with Dallas, but of course I'm still paying attention to them. And Natasha, like you said, she's a proven winner. She's a champion. On the Dallas squad, she was the only champion on the squad, and Dawana brings that same pedigree as well. So together, that is a lot of defense. And then one of their biggest moves was another Phoenix player. And
you bring in a sniper. You bring in a sniper
for sure. And she's somebody that, like, coming off the bench, she's going to be somebody that she's definitely going to be sixth woman of the year, most likely, coming off of this in this scenario. She was already in consideration sixth woman of the year last year, and it was a mess in Phoenix some games. It's not going to be a mess in Indiana. She's going to come in and it's going to look like Patty Mills or Danny Green or Manu Ginobili coming off the bench, putting up big numbers. That's what it's going to look like.
And those of you trying to figure out who we're talking about, Sophia Cunningham.
Yeah.
Going to Indiana.
Correct.
To play alongside Caitlin Clark. Good gracious.
And Aaliyah Boston. Yeah. And Lexi Hull is still there too. So I think them being able to hold on to Lexi Hull was a big thing as well. That is a defensive presence. And a lot of times last year, she was one of the only ones playing defense. So being able to retain that, and then you add Natasha, who plays it, you know, she plays a lot of defense, and then Dawana too. So like you said, one free agency.
They won free agency. Now, I will bring up the Chicago Sky. They get back Courtney Vandersloot from the New York Liberty.
So this is not a move that surprised me either. I don't think that Sloot really even wanted to go to New York other than the fact that Stewie was going to be there. We knew that they wanted to kind of reunite and play together again. Sloot is from New York, so I don't think that was necessarily out of the realm for her, but Chicago's home now. She's been there for so long. And then Allie, her wife, is from the Chicago area. She made a name for herself there at DePaul. And we know Chicago's not known a whole lot for their college basketball level. And so
I think Courtney wanted to go out with the team that she knows best.
Agree. No, I agree with that. And there was, you know, because Allie's never officially retired. Last year she was listed as sitting out, and then, it was contract problems, and a lot of that went back to James Wade. And Courtney and Allie were not, the last season that they played together at Chicago, we didn't even know if they were going to be there until right before the season started, because that's how long it took for them to do contract negotiations. And James Wade dropped the ball on that and then left the team halfway through the season.
Yeah, and then they bring in Kia Nurse. Mm-hmm. Rock with that. But the surprising move.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that pickup. Kia, while a veteran in the game, and I'm sure that she'll be able to add her basketball IQ to that situation, her best days are behind her. That last injury, she's never looked the same. That's the facts of the situation.
I don't disagree, but my thing is this. Did I see that the Washington Mystics traded Aria Atkins to the Chicago Sky?
They did. And so this was a shocker for me. I do think that she's going to fit in well there in Chicago. I want to shout it out real quick. Texas alum. We love Aria. I hope she does well over there. I loved the fit that they had in Washington with Kira, her, Deladon, and it just, as we saw what happened there in Washington, it was injury after injury and then poor moves by front office. So I'm surprised to see her go and go to Chicago, but, you know, I hope it works out for her, because obviously things are really bad there in D.C.
Because that threw me, I'm like, wait a minute.
Right. No, I wasn't expecting that move.
Now, most people was looking at Chicago for trading their first round pick. I'm like, yeah, I do really. They just got Aria Atkins, right?
Yeah, she's one of the only college players to make Team USA. Like, she just needs to be in the right situation. She's definitely a baller.
Everybody's fascinated with these draft picks. I'm like, but y'all do realize what they just got, right? That's not just no ordinary player that they just grabbed.
No,
Eric, pair with Camilla Cardoza and Angel Reese.
Yeah, she's a franchise player. So and she's going to add some veteran leadership that that team desperately needs.
Now, before I get to my last team on here, you did bring up the Golden State Valkyries.
Yeah.
How did you feel? How do you think they did in the expansion draft?
I thought it was interesting that they didn't take anybody from Seattle. They said, nah.
No mas.
They didn't want any parts of that. And I don't know if Jordan Horston was available, but that's probably who I would have gone after. Like I said, I don't know if she was available or not, but that's who I would have gone after. Now, their pickup of Kate Martin, I thought that was huge. Kate is going to have to, we're going to have to see what type of level she can be at. Vegas is, when she got drafted to Vegas, my thought was, and because it was the second round, I was like, I couldn't believe that they got Kate Martin to Vegas. And she looked great in Vegas. It was one of the only bench players that Becky Hammon trusted to come in. So I think that that says a lot. I think she's incredibly coachable. So, and then going to a team that, you know, they have, it's her former assistant is that was at Vegas that is now the head coach there in Golden State. I think that that'll probably be a seamless transition for her. I just worry about the injury history because it was looking like, and it wasn't, it didn't all the way rupture, but she bruised her Achilles last year. So, and that's scary. So we'll see what type of level she's at. But, you know, we all talked about Caitlin at Iowa, but who was her right-hand woman? Kate.
Yeah, it would be Kate Martin. They did get Kayla Thornton from the Liberty. That really
Oh,
hurt.
huge.
That hurt
That
y'all
is,
so much.
yeah, I know that hurts as a Liberty fan, even as a Wings fan, because Kayla played for us for quite some time as well. And she's an incredible, incredible guard. Now, she's not going to be somebody that is going to be your top shooter every night, but I think that she has really good court vision. And she plays a lot of, she plays defense really well. And that's going to be needed. Obviously, Golden State's not going to be good this year. It's not going to happen. It doesn't. They're going to get the fifth pick in all three rounds. They will next year probably get the top draft pick or close to the top draft pick, and they'll be able to build more there. But they're not going to be good this season. However, them picking up Tip, I thought was huge from Vegas too. So that was a free agency move. It wasn't the expansion draft, but that was huge. They need veteran leadership there, so big for them, but not. They haven't spent any money during free agency, I'll say that, besides Tip.
But Indiana might have won free agency.
Oh, for sure. For
But
sure.
trying to dethrone the champ has got a whole lot harder.
So this pickup right here, now we knew she was traded from Phoenix to Connecticut, and obviously a part of the Alyssa Thomas trade. And she did not want to be in Connecticut, and who can blame her? Nobody wants to be there. So why not go somewhere where, one, you need to fill in a slot for somebody that was aging and transitioning. She's going to be transitioning out of the league. She probably signed her last contract, Courtney Vandersloot. There was even in the playoffs, they had Courtney coming off the bench, and it started to look a little bit better. So, you know, Tosh has some her work cut out for her, but I once again I think she's an excellent defensive guard, and she really shocked me there in Phoenix and backed it up with the shooting, had one of her best shooting years too. So I love this move for New York.
Oh, I definitely love it. I said, whoa, wait a minute.
Right. No, great
Y'all
move.
just not give New York a dog here.
Right.
Y'all just gave New York a dog. That's all we needed.
The only concern I have for New York actually came out a couple days ago, and Stewie had to have a scope of her knee, and that is concerning. They said she'll be back for training camp, and she'll be good to go. And as we know with a meniscus, if it's just a tear, you just got to stay off of it and give it a certain amount of time, and then you'll be back on the court. Stewie has an injury history though, so and she's not old, but getting towards the end of her prime. It's concerning.
It's concerning, but
I'm not gonna like write her off and say she's not a top
well,
five player in the league right now, because
but
she absolutely is. But it didn't look good in the run. It didn't look good.
you still got Sabrina.
You got Sabrina, yeah.
You
So
still got the other Sabali.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, who was the key factor in game five of that championship?
Absolutely. And that was shocking to me because she's never been the standout sister, in my opinion.
So, you know, you still got Lainey Hamilton. Now that she has some rest from that surgery that she had on her knee.
Right.
We don't have to rush Stewie. We can
slow play it. I thought if there was anybody that was going to be the movable piece there in New York, it was going to be Bettanija because of her trade stock is so high. And I'm glad that y'all didn't move on from her. Well, I think she's very talented. So glad that you didn't have to move that piece. That's like how I felt with the San Antonio, De'Aaron Fox. And I just didn't want to lose Castle. And I think that's probably how New York felt, like, hey, we need to make a move. We need to do something. But I don't want to let go of this one piece, and that's the piece everybody wants, and it was Bettanija.
So, hey, we're bringing the dog to the champs. We already got the coaches already set, so it ain't like we got to change anything.
Right.
The coaches are already set.
Yeah.
Natasha already know what time of coaches she's going into, and probably right. She speak on the fact that even when she played against North, she just loved that entire organization and that fan base, so.
I love Sandy. I think clearly Phoenix moved on and shouldn't have. But I mean, you know, 6-1, half a dozen another, maybe it's a better situation. Maybe her time there in Phoenix had played out, but I don't think Sandy was the reason it wasn't working at that moment.
So, hey, thank you, Connecticut, for continuing to being a strange franchise this offseason.
Man.
Because why you being strange? Go ahead and help my team out while you at it.
Right.
Pretty much. The funny thing is you helped the one team that you had a hard problem getting past.
Right.
Team that you had a hard time getting past.
And Connecticut is not going to be what they were the last 3 years, 4 years, honestly. No. They're not going to be that. So
I see them at the bottom of the league.
That's absolutely where they will be. And, you know, yeah, that's what's going to happen with Connecticut. They're not going to be good.
All right. Got our WNBA talk in. No worry, you'll hear more from the Queen of Hoops.
Two last pieces of the WNBA that I thought were interesting, and you may not, I'm sure you probably don't have a graphic for it, but speaking of pieces from Connecticut that left, Dejanay Carrington landed in Dallas, and then so did her partner, Nalissa Smith from the Fever. I think that'll be interesting. Those are those pieces that Kurt Miller added that I was actually like, maybe he's better at building a team than coaching a team. So we'll see how it works out. It doesn't always work out like Penny and DT on the court. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, you have a defensive mind in Dejanay. You already know who the superstar is. That's no question. You know who the superstar of the team is. So you know who's the one going to put up the Kobe numbers. And yes, I said Kobe, okay?
Yeah, well, because of shooting percentages, I know. Y'all get off a replay.
That's how she plays, though. It's not about the shooting percentage, but that's how she plays like Kobe.
She does. She doesn't like to pass the ball. I love her.
And when she's on, good luck.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure.
You seen the All-Star game?
My favorite thing about Arike is I feel like she's Candace 2.0. She hates Team USA. She doesn't hate them, but, you know, she called them out for their politics, and I appreciated that. And
you know, the funny thing was, when she was okay, the call's like, no, I don't want to go back in. Let Arike continue. Nope. She on one. I'm going to stay right here on the bench. I'd rather talk to the game crew and then just let her continue to be hot.
Right.
I can't fault Caitlin on that one because she was on one. Right. But hey, 2028. This should be one of the best squads we should have. And everybody should be thrilled. So there should be no snubs in 2028.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be different this upcoming year. And I know we got the gold, but we kind of got to avenge that last game because it was a 1-point differential. It was the smallest margin ever in Team USA. So
I'm good. We got the gold. That's all that matters.
Oh, hey, we got it. I'm not knocking them. And France is talented. France was a talented team. So not a knock to them. And we'll see a couple of those ladies actually from the France team will be playing in the WNBA this year, besides Gabby. Some of her teammates will also be there. So we'll see them.
So, commercial break. When we come back, it's time to dive into the madness of March. The brackets are set. We know who's in. One committee got a lot of questions. The other committee, there might be a couple of questions, but not for me. I can tell you that much more. Whatever y'all did, I approve. But that one committee, you have a lot of questions that need to be answered. We'll be back.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
Dee Willy in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
All right, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out. Now, the brackets are set. And we're going to begin with the men's because it's a lot of things to discuss with the men's.
Yeah, it is. And mainly one of the biggest things to discuss is about two teams that probably shouldn't be there. And I'm wearing one of them on my chest.
I have a slide perfectly for that.
There's some questions about at least two of the teams that made it into the tournament and I have no problem admitting my team is one of them. Now it took them till the day I die, so we're here, we're in there, we're not in there yet, we got to win out of the first four, but we got a chance.
So let's go ahead, go down the bracket. Your number one overall seed coming out of the South region is the Auburn Tigers. Now, for my Gator fans out there, just let y'all know, this was already determined before conference tournament even started, okay? The 4-1 seed was pretty much already determined. They just wanted to see how the conference tournament goes because it's part of their job. But right. The 4 number one seed was pretty much already determined.
Right, yeah.
They lead the South region. And you see the South region here. We have Alabama State, St. Francis. They're playing tonight. We'll get to that later on. Louisville, Creighton, Michigan. Your Big Ten champions, the fifth seed. That's a question mark.
Yeah, definitely think that Michigan should be up higher. Michigan has surprised on both sides this year in both programs, the men's and the women's. Women's especially, we'll get there, but definitely Michigan should be higher.
UC San Diego, Texas A&M, Yale, Ole Miss, San Diego, UNC. They also play tonight. We will get to that later on. Iowa State, Lincecum, Marquette, New Mexico, Michigan State as your 2 seed, and Bryant.
Now, I think this Texas A&M Yale matchup has upset written all over it. Texas A&M had played really well. in non-conference play, and then in conference play they had some struggles, and then notably losing to Texas in the last week. It was a bad loss, and definitely while it's a rivalry, it can go either way. Texas has been terrible this year, so or not terrible, but very mid. No reason that A&M should have lost the way they did. And Yale has been playing well.
By the way, some might say Texas A&M is the reason why y'all actually got in.
No, I agree. I think that's exactly why we got in.
Hey. Marquette.
Oh, man.
Marcus Smart, what's going on up in Milwaukee, man? Because this is
and I love Shaka Smart. I'm a huge Shaka Smart fan. I wasn't ready to move on from him in Texas. I know that he never got over the hump, and then that loss to Abilene Christian in the first round a few years ago, or his final year with Texas, was a shocker for people that weren't in this area. It was probably the best team that Abilene Christian has ever had in the history of the school. So yes, beating Texas was huge, but they were a really good team. So I hate this for Shaka. I was hoping that this was a year that Shaka could finally quiet the haters, and it is not that year.
No, it might not be that year.
It is not that year.
We'll see. But hey, that's the South region.
You know who to pay attention to, though? And specifically, it's that matchup, UNM. I have been keeping up with UNM because they're only 4 hours away from me. So I keep up with them pretty frequently. Definitely pay attention to that matchup.
The Queen is telling you to pay attention to the Lobos out in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's what she's saying.
Definitely.
My only question is, Auburn, how you feeling mentally? That's my question. How you feeling mentally, Auburn? Not physically, mentally, because you faltered down the stretch at the wrong time.
Indeed.
So, Bruce Pearl, how y'all doing mentally?
But yeah, I think that Auburn, you know, they have some question marks up in the air as well. They had looked like the most dominant team majority of the regular season. Like you said, it was pretty well determined before the end of conference play what was going to be the number one, who the top four were going to be, and what the number one overall was going to be. So not a surprise there, but that loss to Alabama, and you know, there were a couple more losses, so it got a little shaky for Auburn there. We'll see.
That's your South region. Let's go to the East region. Headlined by the Duke Blue Devils.
Right.
Your ACC regular season and conference tournament champions, by the way.
Right.
Obviously, their big question, Cooper Flag.
How
are we going to be feeling when we get to Friday?
So, Cooper, do we think that he's automatically going into the draft?
Yeah. Now, to me, yes, but...
So I know Greenberg, he hasn't declared yet.
So Greenberg did brought up a great point on Get Up. Or was it Get Up? I probably meant Pat McAfee. If he wants to leave a legacy, he will return.
Right, yeah. And there's a possibility of that unless he can lead them to a championship right now. And then there's still a legacy and you get to move on right away. I actually like what Shire's done over here because it's more than just Cooper on the team. As a Spurs fan, I'm definitely watching the teams, looking at like who are we going to want to draft, because the Spurs are still going to, without most likely not going to be the number one pick. I don't think we need the number one pick. I don't think we deserve the number one pick. I'm not saying that. However, there is a chance that we could get it, a very small chance. I don't think we need it. But as long as we draft a player from Duke, I don't care if it's Cooper or if it's any of his supporting cast, because they're all really good.
Now, this region here, you have American, it's Mount St. Mary's, Winner plays Duke. Then you have Mississippi State, Baylor, mm-hmm. Oregon, Liberty. ESPN threw out there that Liberty might be a trendy 12-5 upset.
Right.
You have Arizona, Akron, BYU, VCU, Wisconsin, Montana. Montana might be a 3-4 team at once, because depending on what Wisconsin team wants to show up.
Right.
St. Mary's, Vanderbilt, Alabama, the 2-seed, and Robert Morris. This is your offensive region, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
If you want scoring, this is the region you pay attention to. Okay, you have six teams in this region that score 80 plus points.
Right.
And you have five teams in this region that give up less than 70 points. So this region will be putting up some points.
Right. Yeah. The matchup that sticks out to me is actually that Vandy matchup. So it's not a big upset if they're able to get past St. Mary's, because this is your 7-10 matchup. I think Vandy is a very tough team defensively. And that's the same thing that you can expect out of them on the women's side. And then, you know, just a little reminder, you know, their gym doesn't have air conditioning. They are conditioned to be in the Sahara Desert. Like, the team can just go and go and go on both sides. Look, so, gym, and that's where they train.
I remember that one week I looked up and said, oh, Vandy called Tennessee. Good win. Next thing I know, a couple of days later, they call Kentucky too. What is going on in Nashville?
Right.
And then they call Tennessee again. I'm like, all right, these okay, yeah, they saying Vandy, these boys can play.
Yeah, I'm definitely paying attention to Vandy. I like the Mississippi Baylor matchup also. Obviously, it's the 8-9 matchup, so it's the closest in the seeding. It's not really an upset if Baylor is able to beat Mississippi State, but I think this is probably going to be our closest matchup out of this region. Like, I think maybe a 1-2 point differential in this game, and it can go either way.
I'm still going to that Wisconsin Montana, because depending on what Wisconsin team show up, we might have a problem in that 3-14 matchup.
And I do like BYU VCU matchup too. I think that's going to be a good matchup.
That's going to be a good matchup because VCU, they are one of the defensive teams in this region. Mm-hmm. But Richie Saunders is just that dude there.
Agreed.
If a VCU can't contain him, y'all can hang it up.
Agree. He was giving everybody hell in the Big 12, so we know.
and you still, even though you're a Longhorn fan and your team is
part of it. I still cover Big 12. You
still live in Big 12 country.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, that is just East region. Let's go to region 3, the Midwest region, headlined by, speaking of the Big 12,
right,
the Houston Cougars.
So no surprise here either with that. They faltered once at home to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech is a 3 seed coming out of the Big 12 also. And then they turn around and beat Texas Tech at home. So they went back and forth trading on losses there. I do think that Houston is the better team out of the two, and, you know, just on any given night, you know, those losses can happen, especially with a team of the caliber that Tech is. But Houston, I think that they're probably the most battle-tested. We talk about SEC basketball all the time, but on the men's side, I think Big 12 is the conference to beat this year.
Interesting. You're the only one that has said that. So you have Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. My brother's favorite team right about now. Just because of the name. Just because of the name.
Okay.
Because when we watched the championship game and the commentator came saying SIUE, he was rolling. So,
okay.
My brother's like that sometimes. Gonzaga, Georgia. Clemson, McNeese. That's an interesting 5-12.
Ooh, I love that matchup. So, McNeese is a team that had a local player from Amarillo last year, which is where I am, and really enjoyed watching him play. Hotta Wells, he is playing overseas now. So, really enjoyed him with McNeese, but McNeese has been able to hold on to that steam that they had with that team that they assembled last year. And so, while they don't have all the same players, they have the same coach. And then they also, and who had the biggest turnaround season last year of all time, I believe. Like, he had the most losses the year before to turn it around to the most wins ever. So, I think that as long as you have somebody good at the head right there, very dangerous matchup for Clemson.
Purdue is welcoming in High Point University for the first time in the NCAA tournament.
So High Point making it all flat out, making the tournament on this side on the men's. And then on the women's side, they got to play in the first four. So congratulations to them. Is this the first time that both programs have made it? So happy for them.
Illinois, they'll see the winner between Megan Price's Texas Longhorns and Xavier. We'll talk about that game later.
Right.
Kentucky and Troy, UCLA, Utah State, Tennessee, and Wofford. Now, all senses are, this should be a run of Houston to Tennessee matchup in the regional.
Right. Finals. And that's going to be really tough for Houston. I think, you know, Tennessee took a couple losses there at the end of the season, but they're a team that I've been paying attention to all season. And, you know, when you're in a situation where you have single elimination, you know, we talk about it, it's any given night. It just may not be that you may not be the best team that night, but on paper, you're the better team all season long. You've been the better team, but on that one particular night, you may not be. And this has the potential for that to happen because Tennessee is that good of a team.
So that's the Midwest region. Let me head out to the rest region. Headlined by the SEC tournament champions, the Florida Gators.
Right. And so this is probably everybody's favorite to win the tournament. That's what I've been seeing all around, that they should have been the number one overall seed over Auburn, which they have a case for that. Definitely have a case for that. Paying attention to Florida as well. So I don't think that that's a hot take of paying attention to Florida because of how good they've been this year. But they did have a couple of losses there at the end of the season.
Yeah, the only reason why we ain't become the number one seed in the freaking Southeastern Conference is because we went to Athens and decided to get beat.
Right.
And I sat here on this program with Cole Johnson, which is going to be mad the fact that you was on the show. He couldn't be on.
Oh.
And I said, watch that loss that Georgia's gonna come back and bite us an ass. And sure enough, right. It did. It came right back and bite us an ass because of that.
That's the thing about Georgia. When they have home court advantage or home field advantage, it's the real deal there in Georgia. It can be a difference maker. That X factor that DT talks about there in Phoenix, like the fans and where you're at really matter when you gotta go into Georgia's house.
But hey, we're the fourth number one seed. We're in the rest region. And Norfolk State, welcome back to the tournament.
Right.
The two-time defending champions, UConn Huskies, they will be meeting up with Oklahoma. That is a very interesting matchup. Very interesting matchup. Memphis, Colorado State, another interesting matchup.
Right.
Maryland, Grand Canyon, Missouri, Drake, Texas Tech, UNC Wilmington, Kansas, Arkansas, which is the matchup everybody circled.
Right, for the first round.
And then St. John's and Omaha.
So now normally we probably wouldn't be paying attention to Arkansas this much except for Calipari's there now this year. So first year there at Arkansas, and we pay attention to it on the women's side. Don't get me wrong. Arkansas puts forth a good team on the women's side most years. This year, this matchup, we wouldn't have expected them to be these seeds if you'd have known who the coaches are. Bill Self, John Calipari, a 7-10 matchup. Very unexpected, I would say.
And then the winner get going against Rick Pitino in a round of 32.
Right. So, you know, and Pitino being the only one to win at 5 different universities, is that right? Or is it 6?
6. He has brought 6 different universities to the NCAA tournament.
I mean, he might be the GOAT. I don't know. I do not always like his tactics, but the thing is, college sports has evolved to where his tactics are legal now. So it just is what it is.
Now, as a Gator fan, Norfolk, welcome back. Butch. I don't even know what to say because Seth Greenberg and Jay Billis and Jay Williams and Reese Davis and then everybody else is like, I'm like, the entire college game day crew picked Florida to win the national championship.
Right.
I don't even know how to feel about that.
Right.
When has the entire game day crew picked the same team?
Now, it can't happen, though. Abilene Christian did beat Texas in the first round. So these things do happen. But like I said before, that was the best team that Abilene Christian has ever seen in the history of their school.
This is the best team Florida has had in a very long time.
Agreed.
There is no weaknesses in this team. MJ Billis said on a call in the SEC championship game against Tennessee. He said, pick your poison with the Florida Gators. Problem is, it's all poison.
Now for Texas Tech, the first round I'm not worried about, but them playing most likely Missouri the next round is something that is kind of concerning for them. Missouri has gotten hot. They've been ranked several times this year. Great coach. We saw them beat Ole Miss. That was a really great game too. So if they both make it to the second round, that matchup is one that I'm really looking forward to.
I ain't sleeping on Drake. That is the best defensive team in the tournament. Great.
No. And I'm not. That's why I said if they both make it there. And then obviously we know about Grand Canyon. So Grand Canyon is known for first round upsets there. And Maryland has been struggling. So, you know, they had a great start to the season. And much like the women, it got cold once they got to conference play. I could see Grand Canyon beating Maryland.
Here's the interesting part. UConn, your back-to-back defending champions, eighth seed. OU's
going to win that matchup.
Jeremiah Fears for the Oklahoma Sooner is that dude.
Yeah, for sure. I think that similar to the women's program there in Oklahoma, they've been quietly winning all year long. And then you would hear them in a couple of different matchups that stick out. Obviously, you know, the Texas matchups. We're always going to talk about OU and Texas, but I don't think that we've really been talking about either one of them as contenders. And I don't know that I want to say they're contenders, but they're contenders to have an upset. And I can see OU winning this.
But here's the thing, and this is not coming from me. This is coming from the experts that get paid to do this. I ain't at that level yet. Florida is the most complete team in college basketball.
No, I agree.
So for you to beat Florida, Florida needs to be off. And right. that rarely happens.
Right. I don't see either one coming out of that area, but it'll, in my opinion, it'll be Florida versus Oklahoma.
So collision course? Todd Golden in his third year. And by the way, what do I always like to say about coaching? Give a coach 3 years. This is Todd Golden's third year in games, but look what he has done.
Right. No, I definitely agree with that, giving your coach 3 years.
So Todd Golden, possibly against Rick Pitino, reaching the finals, trip to the finals.
I would love that.
Hey, I'm not going to brag, but I like what we got going on in Gainesville right now.
I will say that the guy side of things was more exciting this year than it has been in a couple of years. So glad that they were kind of able to get their spark back. I think that the portal has put parity out there a little bit more. And, you know, we're starting to see people stay longer because they're making money there in college. And so we're starting to see teams that have been together a little bit longer, kind of reversing what the one and done has done to the men's game. So it's bringing the spark back to it. I've really enjoyed the men's season this year. And y'all know I don't talk about men's basketball that much.
No. Only time one of the
men's. Or I watch it, but I just don't
talk about it. I bring you on. So I had to pick my spots. But, you know, here's your 4-1 seeds. And there's no surprising whatsoever. It was the 4-1 seeds going into a conference tournament. And these are the 4 seeds that are official.
Yeah, I said it that I think it's the Big 12 year. It could be Florida, but I mean, also depending on what happens with Cooper and if he's healthy enough to play, I don't know. It's up in the air. I don't think it's going to be Auburn though.
Yeah, but now NCAA committee, we gotta have a conversation here. Yeah, last 4 teams that were in Texas, Xavier, yeah. San Diego, and North Carolina. Your first 4 out. West Virginia, Indiana, Ohio State, Boise State. Why do we need to have a conversation? Because I'll let Ms. Megan Price talk about her Longhorn because she wants to get off her chest. But the real conversation is this.
Right.
How in the blue hell did North Carolina get in with this type of resume?
Indeed. They probably shouldn't be there. But is it really a March Madness tournament without the men's UNC program? Is that fair? No, of course not. But is it really a tournament without them? Also, no.
1-12 in quarterfinals.
I know it.
1-8 versus the top 25.
Yeah.
West Virginia did better.
West Virginia should definitely be there.
West Virginia did better. Noted. Indiana, despite all their mess that they've been going through, they done better in quad ones in top 25 games. What? every single person in sports media have all said North Carolina will be in. Matter of fact, every single bracketology out there in the world, which is like 111 of them, if I remember the tweet correctly, all 111 of them had West Virginia in and North Carolina out.
Right. Yeah, it would have been West Virginia for me, for sure.
So what are we doing?
Well, I think it's exactly like I said. Is it really a tournament without UNC there? So is it fair? No. But sometimes nepotism and the program that you have is what it is, and you're known to be a basketball school, so they're going to throw you in there in hopes that we can get a Duke-UNC matchup somewhere because that's where the viewership is.
What?
It's not fair. I know. It's not fair. I don't even think Texas should be there.
Say, wait a minute. Hold on. North Carolina's in? And matter of fact, not only they was in, they gave it to us early because they was in the first region. Mm-hmm. They in the South region.
Yeah.
They actually put North Carolina in.
Yeah, they did.
I don't believe this. Now, you want to get something, you want to talk your Longhorns. You said the Longhorns on the third to get in, so let me give you your moment. Here you go.
Yeah, we're in here. So, you know, it's not what I expected. I'll be honest. And I guess I'll just be blunt. I watched 5 of the men's game this year. We're buns. I think only thing that really got us in there was beating A&M the way we beat A&M in the last week of the season. We had a couple other decent wins or ranked wins towards the end of the season, but we split them up. We'd have a good win. We'd have a surprising loss and a good win and then a surprising loss. I like Rodney Terry, but Rodney Terry's still trying to build his own program. Last year, he had Chris Beard's leftovers, and so this year, all we're seeing is Rodney Terry and what he can build. And he still needs some time. So I was not expecting to make the tournament this year. I thought they'd be in the NIT if they accepted.
Longhorns are in.
Yeah.
The Tar Heels are in.
But I'm you know, I'm a realist. So
I know.
It's real. I don't think that we necessarily should be there, but we're in there, and I'm rooting for us.
But man,
yeah,
no. What are we doing, committee? What are we doing? I thought we had a guideline here.
I've been watching the women all year. I've seen every minute of every women's game. I watched
that committee. Don't have much of a problem. Okay,
right.
I can tell you that real. I love what they did. These over here.
Well, it was messy for the women, too, so I'm sure we'll get there, but it didn't have
really the controversy
that shouldn't be there. Their controversy was seeding. So, like you said, I don't necessarily have as much beef with the committee on the women's side because it wasn't about the teams that shouldn't be there. It was just the seeding was a little questionable.
Man, so we can win one game and we can still get into the tournament. That is something that we never
thought. I mean, if you're UNC, you can.
That just amazes me.
Yes.
They just took that criteria is like, we're going to make an exception this year.
They saved the coach's job for sure by letting them go to the tournament.
Man, I'm like, are you serious?
Because Hubert was on his way out, I feel like.
He just got a contract extension like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Despite going through the terrible season.
Right. Well, that tells you how much I watch him.
I'm like, okay, gracious. But now, the SEC, 14 teams. We are a 16 lead team, and only 2 didn't get in.
Right.
The dominance of the SEC was on, if you've been paying attention, even if you wait till your normal time to watch, you have heard the dominance of the SEC because I don't know about you, Karina Hoos, but when I heard 88% winning percentage in non-conference, I was like, oh, we own one. Oh, we own one. Oh, we beating everybody?
Right.
Outside conference? Oh, boy. That's crazy.
A team that I couldn't believe didn't make it was Iowa State. Now, I know they fell off some there at the end of the season, but very shocked that they're not in the tournament.
Yeah. So 14, and that's a new record for one conference.
Right.
Also, a new record. You have four teams in the top two seeds: Alabama, Florida, one seeds; Auburn, Florida, right. one seeds; Alabama, Tennessee, two seeds.
See, and that's where it gets messy on the women's side.
Hey, it's been some good things going on in the Southeastern Conference. All of a sudden, the Southeastern Conference ain't just a football conference anymore.
Right. Which, I mean, we know Alabama been putting up a good team, and then obviously Auburn is there pretty frequently. So no surprise there. Tennessee has made every single tournament. So there's been SEC basketball, but when they added, obviously, when they added Texas and OU, they added more on the basketball side as well.
You know, those of you who love these records, you know your records by seeding. As you recall, within the last 4 years, there's no number zero behind the 1-16 matchup.
Right.
There have been some one seeds getting caught in the first.
There have been two. Yeah, it has happened. So, and it's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Before that, it had never happened. And, you know, I think that is a byproduct of the portal and nil, and I love it.
So, and then here's your first vote tonight. St. Francis, Alabama State gets us started off. One of that will be taking on Auburn in the round of 64. And then the aforementioned North Carolina Tar Heels taking on San Diego State. One of that one gets an Ole Miss team.
Right.
The aforementioned Chris Beard.
Right. And so that is going to be a tough matchup for either one of those teams. I think San Diego State is probably the better team out of them in North Carolina. San Diego State made the championship last year. Is that right? Lost to UConn? I believe that's right. They were a good team last year. And obviously they're not as good this year. And same with North Carolina, but I see more solidarity there in San Diego State. But then having to go face Ole Miss, who has had a couple of losses this year that were questionable, but some of them were understandable. They need a little time there, but Ole Miss is going to be a very good program because Chris Beard is a culture builder.
Tomorrow you have Mount St. Mary's versus American. Winner takes on the second seeded, top seeded Duke Blue Devils in the East region, followed by the 11th seed matchup with Xavier and the Longhorns, with the winner seeing Illinois in the round. 64.
Yeah, that's a tough matchup for either one of those teams, Texas or Xavier. I'm not going to throw out a pick on that one just because it's my team, but either one of those teams having to play Illinois after that is going to be tough.
And then here's your Thursday schedule for the afternoon, getting started at 12:15 with Creighton and Louisville. That's a good way to start off the tournament, Creighton and Louisville. I'm looking forward to that match. That's one of the matches I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely.
Good way to start off. So this is your afternoon sessions here. So you will get to see Wisconsin and Montana. See what kind of Wisconsin team we're going to get. You get that aforementioned McNeese State and Clemson in this round. And then your night session on Thursday, you got UCLA, Utah State. You got the Bill Self versus John Calipari.
Yes. So that matchup right there, definitely. I'm sure we're all ready for that one. Personally, I'm definitely going to be watching and expecting an upset in that McNeese matchup.
So that's your Thursday evening matchup. And then Friday, get you started with Baylor, Mississippi State. You'll get to see Vanderbilt, St. Mary's in that afternoon matchup.
Right.
Colorado State, Memphis. And then your late night, your evening slate. You get to see the Florida Gators take the court along with Kentucky, Marquette. You got Arizona in there, Liberty, Oregon closing out the first round. If you can stay up that late.
Right.
And then CBS and the March Madness team, they were so kind, they gave us a picture of everybody else before. And as you can see, we're getting a lot more women involved in the March Madness announcing team.
Absolutely.
So, but your lead crew, Iron Eagle, Bill Raffer, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wilson getting you all the way through the tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to
it. I love seeing Grant Hill on the sidelines like that. I just love that he's still part of the game.
But we bringing in Debbie Antonelli into the crew.
Right. Love
so it. You won't be calling the women's games. You'll be calling the men's games.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot.
So this is what we got going on here to get you ready for the men's March Madness. Now we'll take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the women. I don't have as many questions for the women's side.
Right. Yeah.
Some people, y'all might feel some type of way, but they did exactly what I wanted them to do. And that's me being objective here. Okay. They did exactly what I wanted them to do. I'm good with it. We're going to see how the queen feels about it, but I feel right. Good. We'll be back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beasts, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals with Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, the new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun, action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube, and where you can find all podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out here with the Queen of Who's Megan Price. You know, first of all, y'all saw the Internet FC commercial. Shout out to Alex Agassau, who is on media coverage of the FC Dallas MLS this season.
Oh, awesome.
So, hey. Shout out to Eric Wilson. He let your boy go to New Orleans, and your boy came back to Duval with a different mindset.
Love that. I love that.
So I made some moves. I got Alice to be a part of the media coverage for FC Dallas.
Oh, we love that. Love that very much.
So working on some other things, too. Might be involved in the Big 12 for next okay. football season. Just working on some other stuff.
That's what's up. Love that.
So. But now let's get to the women's bracket, shall we? And the women's bracket, I think they did the right thing. Am I saying what they did the right thing? The number one overall seed, the UCLA Bruins, representing Spokane Region 1. And in Spokane Region 1, they will see the winner of UC San Diego and Southern University. Mm-hmm. Richmond will go against Georgia Tech. Ole Miss versus Ball State. Baylor versus Grand Canyon, Florida State, George Mason, LSU, San Diego, Michigan State, Harvard, and NC State and Vermont. Now, those of you who are not familiar with the women's game, anytime you see an Ivy League team in the women's side, have raised eyebrows.
Well, there's three now that are there's three that made the tournament.
I know, we only got one. I'm just saying,
they definitely pay attention to the Ivy League teams. Harvard, obviously, they have Harmony Turner, who is an amazing ball player and has been there for a few years. The last couple years, I was paying attention to Princeton because they had a player that I really liked, but Harvard just won their tournament and could pull an upset here for sure.
Now, my question is, LSU, are my girls healthy? If my girls healthy, I'm good.
So on the LSU side of things, them getting the three seed, I think, is pretty well deserved. At the end of the season, and then obviously in the SEC tournament, they had some health issues. Flage was in a boot, then Anisha was also in a boot. So it's looking rough for LSU if those two ladies aren't available. We did hear Kim say that everybody would be healthy for the big tournament. But is that just a tactic? Any coach would do that. I don't want to just let in on Kim on that. Or is that just a diversion for people to plan for that person to be there, or those two people to be there, and they may not be.
Kim Mulkey, I need to know if my girl's healthy. Because if my girl's healthy, they will get past Florida State. Because if they're not healthy, you're talking about the leading scorer in the entire college basketball round.
Right.
Florida State.
Well, and I'll say that, but George Mason's a good team too, a really good team. So if you haven't been watching any of the smaller tournaments, George Mason is a team that stands out, in my opinion. Florida State, they did okay in the ACC tournament, but not what – I don't know. That George Mason matchup is going to be tough. And then also another one that I think is a bigger differential, more of an upset, pay attention to those Grand Canyon women too. And Georgia Tech, but that's not much of an upset. But Georgia Tech's a pretty good team, too.
I'm saying this right now. Ole Miss, this is the time for y'all to start getting on the right path. This is it. get past Ball State. I really believe Ole Miss can be the team that meets UCLA in the Sweet 16.
I think that's very possible. Ole Miss is a tough defensive team. Now, they're not going to outshoot anybody because that's just something that they need to work on. But as far as defense, Ole Miss is a very tough team to get past. They have a dynamic coach. I love Coach Yo. She got her start in coaching in this area at a JUCO, so definitely a big supporter of that. But like I said, they're not the best shooting team out there, but defense, they're oppressive.
So I'm just saying, I can see a UCLA Ole Miss sweet.
I definitely could. Matchup. Definitely.
NC State. You took one on the chin, but so I have no questions about y'all. You took one on the chin to Duke, but I have no questions.
NC State's an interesting team. So I had a chance to see them live at the ACC tournament. They made the championship game and then lost to Duke by quite a bit. It was a double digits. They didn't show up in that second half, really. Their star got injured in that game and then came back. And it was obvious that James is her last name. It was obvious that she wasn't quite healthy. So I'm sure health is going to be an issue. But the thing about NC State is they're incredibly fast paced. They play with four guards and one center. Or that's the rotation that they run with. But their centers, they have two that are very good. So you have one that is from Latvia, I believe. Anyway, had a chance to see them play. Very, very good team. Once you have the blueprint on how to beat them, I think that it would definitely have to take a strong defense, a full court press the entire game to beat NC State, but very good shooting team. But they have a few holes, and I think Duke exposed that.
They did, but like I said, they took one on the chin. I have no questions. I have no questions about them, though. Now, can they make it to UCLA in the regional finals? That's the only thing I'm waiting on. Should be the favorite to come out of this bracket unless LSU is fully healthy. That's the only team that can dethrone NC State.
I agree.
The only reason they're reason of pride is LSU.
I agree.
From Spokane, we're going to head over to Birmingham, Region 1, because the South Carolina Gamecocks, the reigning defending champions, are the number one seed in this region. And to go in this region, you have Tennessee Tech. Congratulations. The first team to actually punch their ticket into the dance this season was the Tennessee Tech Lady.
Congratulations on making it, but you got to play South Carolina.
Utah and Indiana. That's a very
It's going to be such a good matchup right there. That game right there, definitely going to be cued into that. Utah, a team that lost their star to the draft last year and then also lost their coach, really didn't know what they were going to look like, and they're still doing good. Indiana, a team that's been ranked this season but fell out of the rankings. Very similar tier teams. I might be one of the best matchups of the first round.
I know people like they 5-12 upset. Do not look at Alabama and Green Bay. I'm just going to tell you
Green Bay is a very interesting team.
They are, but this Alabama team, good luck trying to defend them ladies inside. Just good luck defending them ladies inside. I don't see Green Bay able to stop them two ladies. I'm sorry. Especially Bears. I just don't see it. I don't.
Okay. And you very well may be right. But Green Bay is an interesting team.
Maryland, Norfolk State.
Ooh, so now this one has the potential for an upset. Maryland hot in the first part of the season and then cooled off in the second half. Some rotational issues. And then Norfolk State just got hot this year.
Here's my thing with Norfolk State. You spoke about NC State, right? Norfolk State likes to run.
Yes.
And I don't think Maryland likes to run. That might be a problem for Maryland. Yeah. Norfolk likes to run.
Yeah, it's a run and gun type of offense, kind of similar to NC State. And you got to keep up. You're right.
So Maryland, I'm with the queen here because I
want that. Could be the upset. Agreed.
That Norfolk State Lady Spartans, they like to run. They put up points. You better be Maryland. This is one of them games you need to cross all the T's, dot all the I's on this one. Because one mistake, you might find yourself down a quick 5 points.
Understand. Definitely understand. Like, we saw something similar with the Texas-Gonzaga Sweet 16 matchup last year. Gonzaga being the best three-point shooting team in NCAA last year. And they gave Texas every bit of all they could handle in that Sweet 16 matchup. So it can happen, and it could happen for Norfolk State in this matchup.
You got West Virginia getting the winner of Columbia and Washington. I'm sorry, but West Virginia on the ladies' side has become Press Virginia now.
These
girls get pressed.
Oh, for sure. And also another 806 shout out there. Their head coach was Krista Gerlich, who's the head coach of Texas Tech. He was her assistant at West Texas A&M University, about 20 minutes from here. So I enjoyed being able to see him have success at West Virginia. And they've turned into a perennial team there in the Big 12. Like, they are constantly making their presence known in women's basketball.
So whoever wins between Columbia and Washington, I'm sorry, y'all just going to get pressed to death by West Virginia.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I'm sorry, y'all just going to get pressed to death. There's no other nice way to put it. You're 3-14, North Carolina and Oregon State, which kind of threw me out because I'm like, hold on. Did I just see Oregon State win the WAC conference? When did y'all go? The man didn't go over there. The football team.
It's been a mess for Oregon State since last year. So they had a early exit in the last Pac-12 tournament last year, and they fired their coach right then and there. And they were asking the coach, like, you know, what are you going to do to prepare for the big tournament? Because obviously you're still a high enough seed. You're going to make it regardless. And she said in the press conference, I don't know, because I'm not going to be coaching this team. So it's been a mess for Oregon State since then. And I'm not surprised that they still have some good players there, but they're still trying to find their direction after all of that mess from last year.
Thanks for making the tournament, but you're going against North Carolina.
North Carolina, they had some struggling woes in the ACC tournament. So we'll see. Them making the semis was kind of surprising. Now, I do think that they'll get past Oregon State just fine.
17, Vanderbilt in Oregon.
Ooh, okay, here we go. Pay attention to those Vandy girls. I don't know that they can beat Duke, but they'll beat Oregon.
They'll beat Oregon because Deja Kelly hasn't been the Deja Kelly I was looking for to when she transferred to Oregon.
Right.
It's like she took a step back.
Well, she took a step back last year, too.
Deja Kelly's on is going in a downward trajectory. I don't like that.
Agree. Her sophomore season at UNC, she did really well. That next year, nah.
And Duke and Lehigh. Well, Duke is the ACC champion, and Lehigh, thank you for coming. But
Duke is a team that
Carol Lawson got them girls on the right track now.
She really does. So in her third year there at Duke, and they now have a ACC championship. Also, it's the 50th year for women's basketball for Duke. Circle them. And it's not an upset, them being a two seed. If they were to go all the way and win it, I don't think it's an upset, but I don't think people are really paying attention to them like that. They're the young lady that won MVP of the ACC tournament, Alucci. She's their sixth woman. She comes off the bench and she won MVP. I think that's incredibly special. They are a team that doesn't give up. And then look for the young lady. Her last name's Donovan. She doesn't put a lot on the stat sheet, but she is a defensive presence. She will mix up everybody. She's Draymond Green. She can defend any position on the court.
Now, I'm going to call it a Corey because I don't see it as a problem like other people. Those of you who have a Corey with how the one seeds went in the first 2-1, people thought South Carolina deserved to be the overall number one seed.
Right.
I said it need to be UCLA. Why need to be UCLA, Paymaker? Well, one, first of all, one of the most important things, they actually beat South Carolina during the season. As you can see here, they did not just beat them. They beat them pretty comfortably, too.
They did. I think my... I'm on the other side of it. I do think it should have been South Carolina, but I don't have a problem with UCLA getting picked. But UCLA's non-conference schedule was nothing compared to South Carolina's. Nobody's non-conference schedule was anything in comparison to South Carolina's, except for maybe Texas. Texas was pretty close. They were third in strength of schedule, I believe. So they also had a tough non-conference schedule. But literally, the most battle-tested team going into this tournament is South Carolina. So I think they did what they were supposed to do in order to prepare for this month.
They did. March. But the problem is, you took a 15-point loss to UCLA. Mm-hmm. And then on national television, UConn walked into Columbia, South Carolina.
Right.
And completely destroyed you in the second half.
Right. Now, that loss to Texas, I think you got to know that that loss to Texas won only by 4 points. So not necessarily the better team won, because I don't think that. I think South Carolina is probably the better team out of them in Texas. And not a knock to my own team. I just think South Carolina has better shooting. We probably have better defense, but they have better shooting than we do. But that loss to UConn is what really probably put them in that, the not the number one overall. But UCLA, their conference schedule is not that tough. You know, I mean, yeah, they got to play Nebraska. They got to play Ohio State. But your biggest oomph is somebody you've been playing this entire time in USC. So, you know,
the only team that beat them, by the way, the only team.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I don't know that it necessarily should have been UCLA, but I don't have a problem with it. But their non-conference schedule is not the same, or their conference schedule is not the same as what the SEC is on the women's side.
Because when I heard this,
any given night, you got to play Tennessee, you got to play Ole Miss, you got to play Vandy, you got to play Texas, you got to play OU. Oh, by the way, you got to play LSU and South Carolina, and then you got to play Florida, which is not great. Georgia, not great, but a tough house to go into. So any given night, you can lose in the SEC.
I get you on that one, but that's why I went ahead and I went to the numbers. I said, okay, second rank versus fourth rank, not big of a difference.
Right.
Number one strength of schedule, third rank, not big of a difference. Okay. South Carolina 12-3 in top 25, UCLA 10-2. Not big of a difference. Okay, both won the conference championship. All right, then we getting somewhere. Right. where are we splitting hairs at? Oh, they actually met. Oh, and UCLA won.
Right, and so, and then that's why I don't have a problem with it being UCLA, because they have that win over South Carolina. But I think that win over South Carolina, one, that was at home for UCLA. And I think that was a tired at South Carolina team, because it was like their last non-conference game, right?
It was in November.
Okay.
And then, you, obviously, we talked about what happened in, with UConn, and that was...
Right.
Ooh, to your point, might have been the biggest draw because everybody.
I do think that the loss, the way that they lost to UConn, not necessarily that they lost to UConn, but the way they lost to UConn.
Not only the way they lost, but it was at home too.
Right. Agreed. They hadn't lost at home in like 3 years.
And y'all got destroyed
at home. Yeah, like, for sure.
But hey, I felt the committee did the right thing. I was on UCLA. And come on, you're talking to an SEC guy. You would think I would be pulling for South Carolina Darn State, but I love them. But if I'm being objective, I say, well, UCLA, they do have that critical head-to-head meeting. I mean, you don't matter when they played, they met on the court.
Right.
It was visible.
Right.
And UCLA has that one. And they only lost to one team. But y'all going to hold that one team that they lost to against them?
Like, I don't think if that matchup were to happen today that UCLA wins by 15.
No, I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying that we're going to be objective about this. Let's keep it objective on football, the basketball. Let's keep it the same way. They met on the hardwood. UCLA came out on top. That's chat box number one.
I can respect that.
And then they only lost to one team twice. That's the only team they lost to. I get it. SEC is the better conference.
It is.
Which is very surprising when you talk about basketball.
Right.
I get it. But when you can sit here and say, I beat them, that's your difference right there.
We met and we won.
That's my argument. You know, I had Cool McCain and Cole Johnson try to argue me down. Say, they have to head-to-head meet, and they only lost to one on the team. That's it.
Right.
What more do you want out of UCLA?
A tougher conference schedule.
I mean, they can only play who's in their conference.
And I understand that they can't do anything about that. And not to say that Big Ten doesn't have good teams in there, because like I said, Nebraska is a very good defensive team. You got Indiana, who's decent, and then you got Ohio State, who's good but inconsistent. So it's not quite the same as the SEC.
And the thing about that is, South Carolina played 15 top 25 teams. UCLA played 13. Not big of a difference.
Right. I agree.
So we can, and like South Carolina and UCLA didn't play nobody's.
I agree.
Oh, they scheduled. So I'm with the committee on that one. Other people are not, but I'm with the committee. Your third number one seed is the Texas Longhorns out in the Birmingham region. And
this region's going to be tough.
They receive the winner between High Point and William and Mary. Then your 8-9 will be Illinois and Creighton. Your 5-12 is Tennessee and South Florida. I am circling that game.
Right, because South Florida has won some games.
I am circling that game.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Montana State. Michigan will see the winner between Illinois and Princeton. They go another Ivy team.
No, Iowa State and Princeton.
That's another Ivy team.
Iowa State, I love Audie Crooks, love her. I'm a huge fan. They don't have a lot outside of her. So even if they get past Princeton, they're not going to get past Michigan. Michigan, a team that lost their three best players to Texas in the portal. So a team that rebounded in a way that was pretty unexpected. And I think they're on a mission.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all getting this for free. If Princeton wins, they are beating Michigan.
Interesting.
If Princeton wins, they are beating Michigan.
Okay.
They're beating Michigan. I'm sorry.
We shall see.
Notre Dame versus Stephen F. Austin.
Notre Dame.
Coach Ivy?
Get past this matchup, but Notre Dame has looked rough the last 3 weeks.
Oh, no. That's why I stopped right here. Coach Ivy, this is the game right here. This is the mojo game.
Get it back.
This is the game to get your mojo back.
her rotations haven't been great the last, like I said, 3 weeks. So, you know, I think NC State exposed them on how to beat them, kind of put the blueprint out there, and other teams have been able to capitalize. I do think that Notre Dame will bounce back next season with some unbelievable recruits, but I don't think it's their year.
That's right. This is the mojo game for Notre Dame. This is your mojo game here.
Definitely. Then that lower portion of the bracket, this is where the committee decided to be messy.
Nebraska.
Right. And Louisville should come out of this matchup, even though Nebraska is a very good defensive team.
Once they come out, they'll be seeing TCU.
Right.
And Haley Finley is going to go off.
Right. And so playing her former team. And I do believe that last season that Haley was there, she had one other player around her that was really good there at Louisville, but didn't have much else around her. So she had a rebound season there at TCU. It just wasn't necessarily the right fit at LSU. And things have really come together for her at TCU. But I will say this, the level of competition on the women's side in the Big 12 is subpar to the other conferences. And so while I do think what she's done is impressive, and obviously they beat Notre Dame this year, so they have a good win, but I don't know that they're going to be as battle tested as, say, Louisville.
I hear you on that one, but Haley Van Lent has turned into Louisville Haley Van Lent, and that's going to be a scary sight when Louisville sees that Haley Van Lent, because it's like, this is what we used to have, now we got to deal with it.
Right. The only thing that I can say negatively really about TCU is that Prince shouldn't be playing. And I have to say that publicly anytime I have a chance to. She has no business on the court.
She does the dirty work for me. You know, she gets the rebounds and defense inside.
She's a great basketball player. She's a terrible person. And has no business on the court. There should not be a roster spot open for her.
I get you with that one. But before we continue on, the Lady Volunteers is the only team that has won every single freaking tournament.
Every single one. I love that. I love that for them. When they moved on from their coach last year after the tournament, I don't know if y'all remember, Camila Cardoso hit the three-point, the only three-pointer she's ever made in her career at the time. She made the three-pointer to win because nobody was guarding her, so they let their coach go. I think they hired the right person. I really thought that they were going to pull Kara Lawson from Duke, because I thought the only coaching position that could probably pull her away from Duke was Tennessee. Tennessee did not have enough draw to pull Kara Lawson, and the person that they put in place instead, I think she's an amazing coach, and I want to go as far as to call her a basketball savant. She does this with her rotations where she doesn't sub out one to two players at a time. She subs out five. And so there you are, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You've been playing one of the toughest defenses in NCAA. And here she goes subbing them out. All five of them and putting fresh legs in. It's killer. I don't know. I've never seen a coach do that. I'm speechless. When she did it, I was speechless.
Hey.
And I knew it was coming.
There's a standard at Tennessee.
Right. The assistant coach was actually coaching that matchup against Texas because she was on maternity leave at the time. And she didn't take very long for maternity leave. She was only gone 2 weeks. And so I knew that she did those type of rotations. I knew she subbed out five at a time. But I didn't know if the assistant coach was going to go along with it. And last 2 minutes, sure enough, all five ladies sub in. It was rough. It was one of the hardest games for Texas to win this year, and that was against Tennessee.
The standard is the standard at Lady Volunteers.
Yes, indeed.
And then the final region, Spokane, too. Your final number one seed, the USC Trojans, led by the one and only Juju Watkins.
Ooh, man. So this has been such an exciting team to watch this year. I think we all know or knew what the potential is there with Juju. but she didn't have a ton around her last year, and she still made the Final Four. So, you know, obviously that speaks volumes. But they followed up with getting Kennedy Smith, and then they, you know, they also got Kiki from Stanford. So, you know, they put quite a bit around her, and USC did fall to UCLA in the tournament, in the conference tournament. I don't see that happening again if they match up in this tournament.
If I know the queen well, Macy part number two is coming in this bracket right here. Got Southern Cal, UNC Greensboro, California, Mississippi State, Kansas State, Fairfield, Kentucky and Liberty, Iowa, Murray State, Iowa. I don't know if y'all ready for that. Them girls like to run too at Murray State.
Right. I like Iowa. I like the star that they have over there, Lucy. I think she's a really great guard. She doesn't quite obviously have the spark of the team before her, but Murray State, that is a tough matchup. I will say though, even though they've got to go against USC, I just want to shout out UNC Greensboro. They won their conference tournament back-to-back years. And they went to overtime to win this one this year. So it was really hard fought bid into the big tournament.
Normally, I'd be rocking with Florida Gulf Coast and upset, but you're going against Oklahoma.
Right. And I probably would have gone with Florida Gulf Coast as well. Don't do that this year. I normally would have gone with them for an upset. This is a perennial program that while they're in a smaller conference and you're not going to pay attention to them as much, they're known for really fast paced 3-point shooting. They have a great coach there. However, OU has Beers. She is incredible, and they have been really gelling together over the last 6 weeks. OU is a very dangerous team.
If you play in Alabama and Oklahoma, you better bring your big girl pants, because it's going to be a physical battle.
Agree.
Because them girls from Bama and OU, they play physical ball.
Agree.
And that wears down on you.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Now picking one upset, but Oklahoma State. I'm sorry, y'all got South Dakota State. I'm sorry, y'all got South Dakota State.
Man, and that's tough for them. OK State has been ranked a couple of different times this year, but lower in the rankings, 22, 23, that area. They have been known for women's basketball in the past, but it's been a while. South Dakota State is a team that I definitely got them on the upset on this one.
And being the most scary and dangerous team in the field.
Right.
The UConn Huskies. And they did it to them again. Southern Cal and UConn in the same region again. Want to talk about messy? You heard Lindsey Gottlieb. She was not happy being a fourth number one seed. Into her defense, I agree with her. I don't think she shouldn't have been.
Right, yeah.
I thought they should have been a third. That probably should have been Texas, the fourth number one seed.
No, and I agree with that. I don't know. I don't even know if Texas should have been the number one seed.
That's in my opinion, I say UConn should have been the fourth number one seed, in my opinion, to be
honest. Right, and I'm not opposed to that. I'm not a homer for my team. I'm a realistic fan. If Texas would have got the two, I would have been okay with that.
But you said it was kind of messy.
That's the messy part.
Back in the same region again. Bringing up some nightmares to Trojan fans about what happened last year in the Elite Eight.
Right.
You're going to be a repeat again?
Yeah, it definitely could be. And it does, you know, Paige declared for the draft today. And that's something that Gino likes to have done before the big tournament starts. So, and I can't blame him for wanting to know that ahead of time before you go into the March Madness tournament. So regardless, you know who you're losing. I don't know that I see UConn getting past USC, but I definitely see UConn making it to USC.
You haven't been on the show. I don't know how you've been able to follow the show because you've been so busy. But you do know I can't stand USC. That's until a certain Juju Watson became a part of that team. That is my favorite player.
Yeah, I mean she's so fun to watch. Like, how can you not like her? You know.
You know what my problem is? Faze Beckers is healthy. Aisy Ford is healthy. And then Geno just decided, you know what? It's been a while since y'all had a look at a freshman that come up in UConn that y'all need to talk about. And then Sarah Strong, I'm like, oh my God, Geno's back at it. Oh no. And then I watched him what they did to South Carolina. I thought about that. Oh my gosh.
You know, I thought UConn was dead in the water. They didn't have any top 10 wins before that matchup to South Carolina. Their competition in the Big East is basically the Church League. So, you know, they don't have any competition over there in the Big East. It is time to move on, UConn. Like, I know you got to find a conference that wants you, but y'all got to figure it out. Is this in the Big East is no competition.
Nobody wants them. What you want them to do? Because everybody's scared of them. That is, you
know. No, that's not why they're not taking them. They're not taking them because of how much money UConn wants.
I mean,
UConn's going to have to step off that cash a little bit if they want to be competitive. I mean,
you're talking about the most perennial women's basketball program in the world. So, I mean.
Agreed. But I will say this. Who did they play this year in the championship?
Great.
How much did they win by?
A lot.
How much did they win by in the matchup before that against Villanova?
Yeah, they started. They started everybody.
Tournament. Their conference schedule is nothing.
It's been like that. Even in the old Big East, they used to run through everybody.
I know. It is time.
And yeah, guess what? You still can't handle them.
I thought they were dead in the water, and they had a loss to Tennessee, I believe, and the very next week had to play South Carolina in South Carolina, and I thought, oh, this is it. Not that UConn wouldn't make the tournament, but they definitely wouldn't be a one or a two seed, and it was going to look like a Sweet 16 or maybe second round exit for them, and it's fine. I don't like his tactics that he did. After the Tennessee loss, I think he threw Paige under the bus. And whether you were questioning that because she's supposed to be the number one basketball player in NCAA right now, I don't think you do that in the press. I wasn't impressed with that. Now, did it prove successful? Yeah.
May I put in lamest terms for y'all, what the Queen of Hoops was saying? You thought UConn was dead, and all of a sudden you figured out, nah.
Yeah, they're not dead.
They're not dead. They're here, and yeah, they're still a problem.
And maybe should have been a one seed.
And it may be worse.
I'm not so much of a homer that I can't admit that.
And to make it worse, USC did go to Connecticut and win that game.
Right.
So a little revenge tactics for the UConn Huskies when they meet again in the regional finals. You guys in the regular season, but we're going to knock you out in the regional finals again. That's my only concern when it comes to Juju and South and USC. Right. They got to run into UConn in the regional finals, and that game did not go well last year.
Right.
So, I'm afraid for my girl Juju because damn you, Dino Dito again.
Maybe.
Dang. Hey, you four number one seeds. Like I said, UCLA, I'm with. I felt UConn should have been a one seed. They went with Texas. And they made USC the fourth seed, which those two I don't agree with. But I knew they was going this route because I figured when I saw Charlie Green's bracket toss, I was like, so they going to four an all-conference championship. That's what they did.
Right.
That's what they really did. I want y'all to pay. They avoided. Look at the four number one seeds.
Right.
Two in the Big Ten, two in the SEC.
Right.
They wanted to avoid an all-conference championship. Because the Southeastern Conference has been one of them conferences. By the way, the Southeastern Conference on the latest side got 10. So you're talking about 24 teams from the Southeastern Conference in the brackets.
I love that.
Just saying. I knew what they were doing. I said, oh, so you trying to avoid the all-conference national championship. We can handle it in the Final Four, but not in the national championship.
Correct.
I see what y'all was doing. I peak game.
It's going to be a good tournament. I'm really excited.
Your last four in on the ladies' side, UC San Diego, winners of their conference. Matter of fact, all four of these teams won their conference, by the way. High Point, Southerner, and William & Mary.
I like that High Point team. I don't think they're going to beat Texas, but I like them.
So, no question about who's in on the ladies' side, as you can see. Everybody that's in, we agree with.
Right.
And then there go your breakdown. Big Ten got 12 teams in.
Hey, man, shout out to the Ivy League. Three teams.
If you're facing an Ivy League team, be on your P's and Q's. That's all I got to say.
Agree. Just so you got Princeton, Yale, and Harvard.
Just be on your P's and Q's because something about the Ivy League in basketball, it just works.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
And then welcome to the NCAA tournament, ladies. Arkansas State, Fairleigh Dickinson, Joyce Mason, Grand Canyon, UC San Diego, and William & Mary. Welcome to the NCAA tournament.
So, Fairlane, pay attention to them. I don't know if they'll win that first matchup, but I like them a lot. And then that George Mason team is tough. So, we'll see.
You got to give our welcomes to those who make their first ever tournament appearance. And then the first vote for the ladies begins Wednesday, ESPNU. Iowa State versus Princeton. Michigan is hoping for an Iowa State matchup because they do not want to see Princeton.
Right.
Then you have UC Davis going against Southerner. Congratulations on making the tournament, but you're getting bounced out in the first round because you're going to run into South Carolina. I'm sorry. It's just.
Yeah.
This is not time to face South Carolina right now.
Right. No, it's not. They're definitely on a mission.
No, I said take that back. Y'all facing UCLA. Ain't the time to see them either because they just got done beating USC. So they feeling themselves good now. They feel good. Right. That is Wednesday. Thursday, you have Columbia and Washington. Sorry, but you're facing West Virginia afterwards. I don't like your chances whatsoever.
Right.
I just don't. It's a done deal.
Right.
And then the final one of the first four, you have High Point and William & Mary going against the female Kevin Durant, Madison Booker, and Texas. Good luck.
Yeah, I like High Point. I think they're going to win that matchup against William & Mary, but they're not going to beat Texas.
Neither one of y'all beating Texas.
No.
Neither one of y'all.
That's not happening. Sorry. Not this round. Not this year.
And then here are the teams that got both sides in.
A lot of names.
Alabama, Baylor, Creighton, Duke, Grand Canyon, High Point, Illinois, Iowa State, Kentucky, Liberty, Louisville, Maryland. 24 schools got both sides.
Congratulations
to y'all.
Yes.
Congratulations to y'all because y'all put effort and time into your basketball programs and it paid off. You have two opportunities to make some history.
And we see some HBCUs in there too. I love that.
Yes. Norfolk State got both big teams in there.
Love that.
Enjoy it. This is a moment in time that cannot be replaced. For a lot of y'all going to be done very quickly. To be quite honest.
I mean, that's how it goes that first round. We know. But congratulations on making the tournament. That's huge. That's huge for y'all's programs.
And that is your March Madness preview.
All right. We got through all of it.
Now, y'all can join the tournament challenge, the Shooting Lights Out tournament challenge through ESPN. It is up and running. My Breck is in there. Hopefully we get the Queen of Hoops in there. Get some more people in there.
I have not filled out my brackets yet. So
You got to Thursday.
Right. I've been busy. Y'all know this.
You got to Thursday before the men start and you got to Friday morning before the ladies. You have time.
I will most likely have my brackets out tomorrow, but I'll definitely be in your tournament challenge for sure.
But full disclosure, I did pick UConn to win it.
Okay.
I did pick
UConn. I can see that. I can definitely see that happening.
I'm sorry. They is the most scariest team to me. And I'm like, I don't know how you beat this team. The two stars are on like they been. If they are on, I don't see how you beat them. That is dope.
I agree.
And for once, I don't have to be biased in picking Florida.
Right. Well, you can pick them on the guy's side. It's just not happening for the women's side.
For once, I can pick my Florida Gators and not feel I'm being biased.
Right.
because, as a lot of people have said, the most complete team in the men's basketball is the Florida Gators.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely agree.
So I feel good picking about my Gators. Now nine times out of ten, we might get caught somewhere down the line in this Elite Eight or Final Four, like in past years, but I feel good about my team. That's it. All right, Queen, any last words as we get out of here?
This is the best time of year, not just because of it being basketball season, but this is the very first time that the ladies get to make money off of playing in the tournament. While the men have been playing, getting paid for a little bit, this is the very first time for the ladies. So finally, it's looking like equity on all levels. And you know, it's been super exciting. It's a really fast turnaround for the women's ball game. You have the championship on a Monday night and then the draft the following Monday. And then 2 weeks later, you're in training camp and season starts in 59 days for the WNBA. Probably a record-breaking season for the WNBA. We saw it last year, and I think they continue to build off the success of last year. And, man, that's why it's the best time of year.
And I'll be honest, this is the first time that you can watch both tournaments and don't feel bad about watching either one.
Right, exactly.
You can watch both tournaments and feel good about everything you see.
Last year, I wasn't super into the men's tournament. There were some good pieces super, in the tournament, but the regular season.
Nobody was interested. Not even me, but I do a show.
We was all watching the women's tournament. But this year, I have watched some men's basketball. Not my team very much, but I have watched some other teams.
So we're going to get a lot of basketball in a three-week span.
Yes.
A lot of good basketball in a three-week span.
Definitely.
This is a good time of year. And then afterwards, I got to get ready for the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. Baseball starts for me.
I don't know how I feel about that. But nevertheless, I'm going to enjoy the madness. The Queen's going to enjoy the madness. Absolutely. We're going to see how this game. Who's going to cut down the nets in San Antonio? And in Tampa Bay.
Right.
The road to San Antonio and Tampa Bay begins. Enjoy the madness. For the Queen of Who's Megan Price, I am the Playmaker. We will see y'all later during this madness turn. Have a good one.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.